Start managing your data, not your infrastructure. Unified, simple, secure. Welcome to Data Done Right. Only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
What is going on, everybody? This is the Eat, Sleep, Elite, Repeat podcast. We are back at it again with some more wrestling goodness. This is your weekly AEW review and breakdown, and there was some really good wrestling this week. I mean, there was like one really, really good match at the very least this week that we could definitely talk about. We won't get into that just yet. We'll get into it in favorites, but I mean, like, when that match was announced, I mean, let's not even talk about the match. Let's talk about when you first heard that was going to even be a fucking match on Dynamite, Charlie. I mean, let alone the match we're getting next week also. But, like, I mean, like,
yeah,
this run that Kenny, that's what I'll bring. We'll talk about the individual match later, but the run that Kenny Omega has been on since he came back, my God, Charlie.
Yeah, Kenny Omega is, we are back. And I believe we are back in full swing singles Kenny Omega.
I mean, like, it's the clip that he's wrestling at right now. I mean, to be honest with you, like, he came back and he said, yeah, I'm going to slow down a lot. When are you slowing down, bud? You seem to be going harder than you were before. What the hell? Like,
yeah, and
maybe he realizes he's got so much. He's only got so many bumps left in his career and he's going to make them count. I mean, I would understand. You know, it's kind of like the Darby Allin mentality, right? Like, it's a car crash every time he goes out there, so he just tries to make it as spectacular of a crash as possible every time, right? So,
yeah, and just Kenny Omega is, seriously, he's on another level this year. I mean, this is technically his third five-star match this year, one of them being 6.25, and this one being 5. I mean, it's like, you know.
That's right, the last match in the best of 7, right?
Yep, So
Osprey, the other man with their Osprey, and then now with
technically back to back singles matches, he's dropped the 5 or higher.
Two singles matches this year, 5-star matches. That's insane.
And I'm just gonna say this once. And what was his return singles match? Oh, it was on Dark. Because I keep seeing all these motherfuckers on Twitter. Everything, you know, specifically Matt Cardona. I don't want to just call a guy out, but he's like, you know, if I was on AEW, I'd be relegated to Dark. You guys. They try and act like it's such a bad thing. Yet, what was Kenny Omega's singles return? AEW Dark against someone he wanted to face. It's like Danielson's goes to Dark, Adam Cole, everyone does, but you know, it's just funny.
Okay, I will give them that not everybody goes to Dark. There are people like MJF that don't.
Chris Jericho and MJF are the only two that haven't. And it's just like, you know, here we are.
I mean, there's people that are on Dark less frequently than others. I think I would say a majority of the roster is not. Like, Swerve, it's been forever since he's been on Dark. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. Yeah, but it's just
people,
so funny.
Like, Keith Lee, it's been forever. You know what I mean? Like, we just had a limitless Keith Lee. A naturally limitless mess. So there's people that they're on less. But I mean, like, but Matt Cardona, yeah, I saw that Cardona take as well.
Yet the show he's on, AEW Dark's get more clicks than it.
Which views, you know, which exactly, wrestling show gets more views? NWA Power.
I think this guy's ego is starting to eat him a little bit, because that's not wrestling character. I'm sorry, no, that's his ego. So that's, yeah. Anyways,
isn't this the guy that just said that if he was going to go back to WWE, would not go back as Zack Ryder? He'd go back. He had to go back to Matt Hardy. I mean, I respect that, but I mean, I also am like. He's on a bit of an ego trip right now, it seems like. What do
definitely.
I know, though? But wrestlers have to have an ego, though. So, I mean, you know, I guess maybe it's a good thing for him. I mean, he's been successful the last couple of years. You can't deny that. He was NWA World Champion for a little while. So, like, I think anyway, right? Like, so, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. Anyway, I've always been a Matt Cardona fan, but yeah, what a take.
Same. I have too. But man, he's been. You don't like. I don't like seeing that stuff in the news.
He has takes like that every now and then. You know, like I'll sit here and say, like, I have had some absolutely awful wrestling takes over the years. You would never get to see me disrespect Dark like that, though. You know, so because we review. I'm literally the Dark Elevation guy. If there's a Dark Elevation guy out there, you know, like
exactly, yeah.
So, but anyway, so yeah, that being said, though, I guess I'll go through some of the orders of business that we normally like to take care of at the top of the show. The first of which being you can follow us. If this happens to be the first time you're listening to this podcast, make sure you follow me and Charlie on Twitter. That's at Bane Duke for me. That's BaneDuke. And at OCharlie with an X instead of an A. I actually thought I missed a letter there when I spelled Bane Duke, but I actually I'm half awake, but... yeah, and so, you know, make sure you follow us there on Twitter at Eat Sleep Leap as well. If you want to follow the podcast on Twitter, make sure whatever podcast platform you happen to be listening to this on, be this Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Pandora, various other podcast platforms that we happen to appear on, make sure you guys do follow and or subscribe. If you did end up hitting us up on Twitter, you know, you can send in a message there for the mailbag. I'm pretty sure if someone were to leave like a review or something like that and throw a question in there, we would also include that in the mailbag.
Yeah, I know specifically on Spotify, they've just opened that up. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, like reviews and stuff like that. Yep. That's good. Yeah. And I know you have a decent presence on Spotify. For those of you that listen to on Spotify, give us a review, you know, give us a little question. If you want to throw us a question in there, we'll absolutely throw it in. Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely throw it into the mailbag and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, just yeah, absurd that we're getting matches like Vikingo versus or Vikingo. I'll get the pronunciation right at some point on Dynamite. Just absurd. And next week we're getting another one. Just, absurd. All right. So that being said, we'll talk about the absurdity now because I think it's time we get to our favorites, right?
Yep.
So. It's my week to start us off, and we might as well just not waste any more time. Kenny Omega took on El Hijo del Vikingo, definitely Dynamite match of the year so far, at least for me.
Yeah, there's been some good ones, but man, I mean, the other one would probably be Kenny as well, so it's like, what the fuck's going on?
So within like 30 seconds of this match, this man hit this implosion Hurricane Rana off the corner. And I think we all knew when he hits this insane, ridiculous spot to start off the match that we were getting the kind of match that we were hoping for.
Yeah.
Which was just both guys going full out. And you know what's funny? I actually was thinking about this while watching. I've seen Kenny at his absolute best recently against Will Ospreay. I think against Vikingo here, he actually had a little bit more he could have given. I don't know if you would agree with that. But I feel like this wasn't 100% Kenny that we could have gotten here. I'm not saying that he didn't give it at all. I'm saying like that there was
no
like,
this was 1,000% a little bit more of a showcase for Vikingo in terms of
yes.
If there was one specific notion of the match, I believe Kenny mentioned it in a pre-match promo too. Like what you're gonna see tonight is unlike anything you've ever seen in terms of Lucha Libre wrestling.
I mean,
yeah, and that was literally the highest of high elite tier of Lucha Libre wrestling. I mean,
I thought both of them had some really cool looking gear for this match as well. Like Vikingo's gear looked awesome.
More people need to wrestle in a fucking tunic. He made it work.
Dude, that tunic actually looked awesome on him. Like that's a look. Like he looked like Sub-Zero out there. Like it was the cool. Like Sub-Zero in the. Actually, to be honest, with the tunic, he kind of looked like the other guy, the Scorpion Descendant in the Mortal Kombat movie. Like, God, that movie was so bad. Anyway, yeah, y'all expected to see a Mortal Kombat movie reference on this podcast. Anyway, but yeah, no, I mean like, just like so many, so like this actually, and what's weird too, I guess I don't really expect this from, the Mexican wrestling scene as much, mostly because of the more like, that like sort of agave style that like Angelico brings and stuff like that, like that different stylizations of wrestling in different parts of the world. But this was hard hitting. This was very much like the kind of match that Kenny would have with anybody, like exhibition in like New Japan. And it's like, it's almost like as soon as Kenny won the IWGP United States Championship, like he just went back into New Japan mode and he's just fully in New Japan mode all the time now, which I mean like, hey, I guess, but like, so the swan diving reverse Hurricane Rana, I can name off all of these like different spots. Like, and like they, I feel like if I say them and you didn't actually see them, they're not going to mean much to you, but like just insane spots. Basically most of this was set like to just keep you just like guessing what was going to happen. There were near falls all over the place. Probably the craziest spot of the match, I think we would both agree, was there was a springboard 630 senton through a table at one point. And
yeah, full sprint, like unbelievable setup.
I mean, it was one of the craziest spots that I've ever seen.
You just don't see people doing that. And that's
no. You see people hit spots. Yeah. I think I've even seen a springboard spot through a table before, maybe once, you know? Maybe. I've never seen somebody take that much insane risk. And it's clear that Vikingo is kind of like, sort of like how we look at Dante Martin and we see this guy that can just get like extra elevation on everything, and how we look at Ray Phoenix as like probably maybe the best high flyer in AEW. Is that a stretch to say that Ray Phoenix is maybe, well, if they signed Vikingo, not, but you know, but like.
Yeah. No, yeah. Ray Phoenix is the top dog for high flyers in AEW. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, he's like that guy for like probably the rest of the Mexican wrestling scene, I would say. So
probably the rest of the world.
Yeah, he may be the best peer. I mean, he may even be better than Phoenix. God, that match. Like, oof. I'm sure they've wrestled before, but to see that in America would be something else. But yeah, I mean, just an insane match of the year candidate quality match. And post the match, we did get a little bit of an angle with the Blackpool Combat Club swarming. And then Hanger making the save again. And getting punked on by Don Callis a little bit, which I didn't understand the point of that. That was a little weird, but that didn't really, you know, change anything about the segment. Kenny Omega continuing to prove why he is at least my number two, if not my number one, depending on the day, wrestler in the world. It's really hard to argue with that, and I really think it's hard to not have like Vikingo as your third, fourth best in the world after this match, let alone maybe even in your top three. You know, like that's. When people put him in that conversation, like I've seen him on a lot of those lists, you know, my God, does he deserve to be up there?
Yeah. And I think he's one of those guys that a lot of people, you know, they'd seen the name before, but they maybe just hadn't been too familiar with his work. And after this match, I think he's going to resonate in people's minds a lot more than he did before, which is good for everyone that was involved in the match, and good, you know, Triple A.
I hope AEW. Down the road we get it'll probably be at like Triple Mania or something, right? Next Triple Mania we'll probably see them go for the Mega Championship or something like that. But like, man, I really wish we could get this match again at like Forbidden Door or something somehow. Like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, this was special. And this Kenny Omega was wrestling at literally such an incredible pace that he had to keep up with, and I think he kept up with it very well. Kenny Omega and El Hijo de Vikingo here. This was, like you said at the top, Dynamite Match of the Year. It's going to be hard to top this. And that's kind of how I felt after the ladder match. But I was like, man, we're only 10 days into fucking January. But here we are. And guess who's in it? Kenny Omega, of course. But yeah, the storyline after, too. I mean, I think you covered everything perfect. It was just, haven't seen anything like this on AEW television before. It is really cool. And yeah, the angle after, you know, are we going full Kenny against the Hangman, or, you know, where the Hung Bucks going to reunite and, you know, anti-Hangman or anti-Omega? Where's Takeshita fit in all this?
Does that lead to Takeshita, Ibushi, Kenny Omega versus Hung Bucks? Is that where we go?
I mean, if you're talking like massive storylines, you know, because they're going to feud, now we know, with the Combat Club. So after that, literally, the sky is the fucking limit. So,
literally.
Yeah, fun stuff. The post-match angle. We know
Vikingo can reach the sky, so.
Yeah, I'm very... I've watched the match twice now, and I gotta say, I really loved it. And the time of it, by the way, 16 minutes, 53 seconds, they cranked this out and under. Like, that's insane. This is one of the better, probably one of my favorite sub-20-minute matches ever. I thought it was under 15 at first, so I was going to say it's the best sub 50 minute match ever, but it wasn't. I still will say this though: Punishment Martinez, Marty Scurll, best sub 10 minute match I've ever seen on Ring of Honor television.
I wish Marty Scurll wasn't like a bad person.
Yeah, God, he would have fit so well in this company. But yeah, shit happens, right? That takes me to my favorite, right?
Hello, what have we here?
And we're booking in this week. You know how it goes. Sting, Darby Allin, and AEW International Champion Orange Cassidy defeated The Butcher, The Blade, and Kip Sabian with Penelope Ford. Our boy Kip Sabian rocking a new hair color. It looked good with him. It looked good. Penelope looked good.
Bro, Sting hit the locker codes in this one.
He did. Cassidy had the OC on his cheeks. It looked like some finger paint, which is, you know, just incredibly fitting with his character. Basically, this match stemmed from their house rules show last week in Ohio, where Cassidy and Allen defeated Butcher and the Blade, but then they were attacked post-show. I mean, Darby was getting fucking clonked into the side of a fucking, like, concrete wall.
Yeah, I like the idea that this was, like, a house show, but, like, they literally got into, like, a literal fight. Like, there was cameras there, even though, like, in kayfabe, there wouldn't have been cameras. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, this makes sense.
It fits.
It reminds me of the thing that used to happen at old WWE live events, right? Like where they would have cameras there all the time, even though like even there was one show I went to that wasn't ever shown anywhere, but it was like they had cameras just in case they decided to use something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and it's just it's really cool. So, you know, we made the comparison a couple weeks ago. I was like, when Jack Cartwheel, he's kind of like our modern day Jack Evans, right? And you know, with Darby, it more and more feels like he's that modern day Jeff Hardy, man. Because Jeff Hardy would be the only one that would get his fucking ass beat like that at a house show. But, hey, let's hope he, you know, let's do the other stuff, right?
Jeff Hardy would let his ass get beat in a 7-Eleven if it gets sold the show. Like, let's be real, you know?
And that's how it feels with Darby. So it's like, I don't know, you can kind of see these.
Like, okay, give me an example. Remember when him and Brody were feuding a little while back? And, like, they literally were at, like, a signing? And, like, yeah.
It was incredible, yes! And he beat his ass at the fucking Hot Topic.
Literally.
But yeah, this was really fun. Honestly, this wasn't like a big, you know, member berry smash that you're gonna remember in 5 weeks. But it was just a fun time. Everyone got their shit in, and you know
what? Glad to see Kip getting featured on TV in the opening match of Dynamite. Even how about
and
that?
And who knows how many more of these we have out of Sting? And you can just tell he's having fun out there. And I thought, yeah, I liked seeing Kip and get that spot with Sting. That was really cool. And again, we had Darby Allin here focusing on the Double or Nothing banner, where we saw a video package then play of the Four Pillars brawling from last week. So, yes, it seems more and more like they're setting up that, you know, four-way main event, right? So, pretty sweet stuff. So, yeah, that any other little notes you had on that match for yourself?
There was a sign in the crowd that said, "Oh yeah,
oh yeah." Shout out to Isaiah Cassidy. I posted a tweet on our Twitter earlier, and I said on the @EatSleepElite if you guys are interested.
Headshot.
Don't mind the subtle shill. No, but I was saying, because we were kind of talking about this earlier, you know, AEW sent Wheeler Yuta to the Best of Super Juniors last year. And my God, how cool would it be if they sent Action Andretti this year, right?
Like Mom, spaghetti.
Just kind of fits in that. I don't know where that idea just came to me from, but... Anyways, let's get into some of the news. And of the news this week, we just got some general stuff that we're going to cover. We're going to be talking some Ring of Con, where we're going to be talking this week's TV, as well as we're going to do some predictions for the upcoming Supercard of Honor, because Supercard of Honor is going to be out by the time we do Eat, Sleep, Elite.
Which we
haven't really even... talk too much to each other. We've like thrown some general ideas out of what we're going to do next week. But guys, there is a lot of wrestling next week. So I think you're going to see a lot of us. I shouldn't say see. Maybe we are looking at you. Maybe I'm staring at you through your computer right now. Maybe I'm in your phone. All right. Anyways, no, but we'll be doing a few shows next week, including Supercard of Honor, no matter what. And at the end of the day, no matter what, WrestleMania Night 2. Those are the only two we're going to guarantee. But... who knows? We might be really feeling.
Wait, WrestleMania Night 2 where Cody is?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
yeah. That's the Sunday.
That's a prediction right there. If he's on Night 2, he's winning.
So yeah, Eat Sleep Elite. I guess itself will probably do Saturday. It'll probably be out for you guys Saturday. I think. I don't even know. I have to check the dates of when everything's out. But so yeah, we're gonna be doing some Supercard of Honor predictions here in a minute, as well as we have been fantasy booking. Double or Nothing. And I think we're going to show...
We have been. I mean, I did mine today.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. I did mine yesterday. It's just... we've been fantasy booking some Double or Nothing. So at the end of the news cycle, we're going to just throw that on you because everyone loves some fantasy booking, right? And then we'll jump into the rest of the shows, including Elevation, Dark, Dynamite, and Rampage, and get into what's happening next week.
Rampage, baby.
So kicking us off with news, AEW's announced a partnership to expand house rules across... North America. basically, Jeff Jarrett said the perfect partner to enhance our efforts in the Canadian market. And yeah, they've stated a partnership will bring live events to local venues across North America and explore multifaceted brand partnerships. Jeff Jarrett's doing his job, right?
Slapnut.
Former WWE wrestler Naomi has filed a trademark for a potential new name. She filed a trademark for the name Trinity Star. And I believe it also says in here, someone asked her on Instagram, like, hey, are you still working for WWE? And she said, nah. So Trinity Star, Trinity Fatu, whatever name we end up seeing. Again,
that's kind of sad. The not that she would have to necessarily work for the same company as him, but the fact that one of your world champions, your double champion's spouse, cannot get a deal done to get her to come back after some miscommunication.
Yep.
When I'm sorry, I would love for Mercedes Moné to end up in AEW eventually. I think we all know she's going to end up back in WWE after this championship run. I feel that to be the case. It could go the other way.
I think I could see Forbidden Door being her last show if she does it, or yeah, maybe she just goes back.
I've said that before, that she will do one match for AEW at Forbidden Door if she, you know, if it comes down to that, or maybe more than one. Like, she'll come in before then, do some matches, you know what I mean? Like, maybe she wants to have a match with Hayter or Thunder Rosa or both or something like that, you know what I mean? Or even Britt Baker. But you know, but assuming that she doesn't have any other matches, she could just do the one and done with AEW, and I think she would feel okay with that. I mean, I certainly would. I'd be like, yep, that's going to be money. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But
when can we start fantasy booking Trinity Star as the fourth member of the Outcast?
I mean, I don't think it's going to sound weird. I feel like she would go do the Impact thing, because I still feel like even to this day, Impact,
That'd be great for her, honestly. She would like, it's be still so less good there.
Disrespectful to the WWE to go to Impact than it is to go to AEW. I'm just being honest. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, someone would probably definitely see it as that.
I mean, I don't think Triple H cares either way. Like, right?
I would like to hope not, but some comments he makes sometimes, you're like, huh, maybe.
Maybe he would, right? Like, maybe he would take it.
But
like,
we do know she's a really good friend with Saraya. So they are very close friends. It
seems like just about everybody, Saraya, like you just mentioned included, has pretty much taken the anti-WWE stance that has gone there, though. So I don't know. Like,
yeah, hey, maybe we get Trinity Star as the fourth member. But we also had some sad news. And the longest reigning Impact World Champion ever, Josh Alexander, had to relinquish the title due to a triceps tear. Oh, yeah, you always
he's
hate
been
to
on
see,
like one of those like godly runs. Like,
and you got to feel for the guy that this is how it ends, is a fucking injury when he was most likely putting over the next guy at the next pay-per-view, Steve Maclin, which is kind of just from what I've seen like online, everyone's like, yeah, he was next up, but you know, and oh, it pains you to see this longest title reign ever come to an end with an injury. Injuries are the fucking worst, man.
But you know what it does? It opens up the opportunity for when he comes back, for him and Maclin to have a huge program where Maclin he can still put over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And good on Maclin for really going out there and making a name for himself after the rough WWE exit that they had. Or that'd be those guys were just fucking hammered in the Forgotten Sons. So
the injuries, man, they come at the worst times in wrestling. Like
they always.
Chris Statlander and Layla Gray both got cut off in the middle of their rise up. Dude, Layla Gray was on a Titanic rise and got cut off. You know what I mean? Like, or sorry, yeah. Not Layla Gray. Sorry, Layla Hirsch.
Hirsch, yeah.
Layla Gray is on a Titanic fall, but it's true. I'm sorry, her quality goes down. It just does. It's.
Could have ever gone
she
up.
Can be squashed, that we learned,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, Will Ospreay and Josh Alexander back-to-back weeks, let's just hope
everyone's
safe this next weekend.
Someone
and
put Mike Bailey in bubble wrap,
and you know, we're not, you know, putting syringes through penises on our shows this weekend.
Hey.
So you know, hopefully everyone's clear next week. Did you see that by the way?
No, what the hell are we, what is going on?
XPW, bro, that's all I gotta say. Yep. It was all I first thing I saw when I opened my feed, I could not believe my eyes.
I'm glad we're not a YouTube podcast. That's all I'm going to say. God damn.
We had some dark tapings happened. Usually we'll cover it if like something crazy happened, but it doesn't look like there was any debuts. I think the biggest thing of note here is for the first time since the group formed, the Gates of Agony had a tag match with no Mr. Brian Cage, which if you guys kind of have been keeping in that bubble, Brian Cage is most likely out following Supercard of Honor. So
Damn. Yeah. I know he's not been under AEW contract for a while.
Yeah, so...
And when I say that, I mean, I don't know anything. I'm saying, like, I know that there was talk of him not being renewed for AEW, and he just... I think he's been on, like, one of those per-appearance deals since then, right?
Yeah, so... And again, I guess I the last
that.
Thing...
I never heard him resign, is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean he didn't. Sometimes I don't publicize it, but...
And I guess the last thing we got here is something that you and I will probably get a kick out of that maybe no one else will. The Iron Savages... have a new manager.
Another new manager?
Another new manager. And apparently he's a very loudy, like rowdy big guy. So I guess we'll see how it plays out. But you and I had been saying on the show, like that manager they brought in, that was an interesting couple of episodes. And they got rid of him.
I got a pitch for you. It's going to suck because it'll make the quality of Elevation go down. Paul White.
I'd actually buy it.
He's a big guy, you know, they're the big men.
Yeah, I'd buy it. No, I'd buy it. I still think Stokely with those guys would help him out a lot, but...
Stokes got too many other ads.
He's got a lot going on.
He's got a tag team. Aren't the Guns technically a part of the firm?
Yeah, there's six guys in it.
Stokely's technically gotten people to world championships. That's Stokely's management skill right there.
Yeah, he is. Just a little update on the third AEW show. Meltzer, in the most recent edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, he provided an update on the potential series, and he pretty much wrote that the show is planned unless something major changes, and it will be happening, quote, by July, if not earlier. So this is again AEW's.
Now the podcast is going to be 4 hours. Shit.
This is AEW's third weekly in-ring show that would be on Saturday nights. So I guess keep an eye out for that.
All right, well, podcasts are going to have to be on Sundays if they do that.
Yeah. Jamie Hayter missed this past week due to a visa renewal. It's all good. She'll be back the next week.
Son of a bitch, visa people.
I'm going to sum this up in two lines.
Okay.
CM Punk said John Moxley's Rocky III match idea sucked. Chris Jericho is a liar and a stooge.
Okay. He did anything, say those things.
Anything else? I don't even know if we want to talk about this. I mean, it's, you know, Punk. Punk posted an Instagram thing for 10 minutes. Took it off, and that's all everyone talked about.
Punk
so
he needs to stop being a bitch and just get over himself. That's
I guess the biggest thing here is he said AEW wanted him to wrestle without being cleared, which
if
that's what...
If that's the case, then fuck the people at AEW that wanted him to wrestle without being cleared. Like, but like at the same time, if that's not the case, if like he is just making that part up, which I don't know. I mean, there have clearly been some incidents where the AEW's medical staff haven't been like...
Matt Hardy, Sammy Guevara?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I don't want to
Everyone
here,
can make the pandemic excuse, but motherfucker, that happened, and that was ugly.
And again, I'm not saying that we know 100% what happened with that, because I don't even know if it's ever really been talked about since that. But, you know, like, I mean, I know it was by people, but I just don't know what the actual, because you never know what behind.
Yeah, Matt Hardy just cracked his head on the concrete, and they cleared him 20 minutes later.
Yeah, we just don't know, like, how serious that injury really was. You know what I mean? I just don't know, so I won't speak for it, because I'm sure Matt Hardy probably has maybe addressed it. If he hasn't, maybe he should, but, anyway, my point is, I'm not going to sit here and trash the AEW medical staff. I'm just saying, you know, like, it wouldn't be impossible for a company like AEW to maybe have made that mistake because they thought they needed CM Punk, you know?
Yeah, and his Rocky III pitch was pretty much saying, look, I can squash you in 30 seconds, and we don't need the match. You don't need to be cleared. This is what we need to do. And yet, you know, I don't... This, again, it's people are still going to think it's a work. This is not a work. Everything we've seen, everything we've been pointed to, this is not a work. All Punk did just was upset more people now. So
basically, yeah, I mean, realistically, if he was going to say this kind of shit, he should have said it back when all the shit was still popping off, you know, like,
yeah.
And so, like, so now this is just like, it's almost like a parting shot. He's like, he's done. So he's just going to take one more shot at the company as he goes down, you know, like, and
yeah. So yeah, let's end this up here. We're going to do some Ring of Honor results. Hey, if you want to chime in for anything, just jump right in, all right?
Okay.
Mark Briscoe defeated... This was episode 4, by the way, guys. And again, I'll just say this. Another really good in-ring episode. And, you know, we're clearing up to the pay-per-view. So, yeah, should be pretty cool. Mark Briscoe defeated Tony Nese with Josh Woods and Smart Mark Sterling. I thought Mark Briscoe looked fine getting in his redneck kung fu.
Chicken.
The new trio, AR Fox, Blake Christian, and Metalik, defeated the Trustbusters, Ardivari, Jeeves K, and Slim J. This is the trio of the Trustbusters I keep going back to. These guys are good. Look, some guys, and in this review I was reading earlier, they said I'm tired of the Trustbusters. Well, I'm not. I think in Ring of Honor, they've stepped up their fucking wrestling game. I am very, very passionate about that because I think Slim J has been a different breed, and I believe he's wrestled nearly every fucking week. So I all the hats off to that guy. I want to see nothing but improvement. And if we can get a heel faction like the Trustbusters over, the talent's there. That's all I'm saying.
In trust we bust.
In trust we bust. Which any thoughts on the new trio? Fox, Christian, and Metalik?
Yeah, I mean I just find it weird that they yanked Fox away from Top Flight. That's another that's like the third tag partner that Top Flight have had yoinked from them. But I mean, all
right. Seidel, Leo Rush, and now Fox, right?
Literally, like
who's your favorite pairing out of the three?
Why are Top Flight so unlikable? Even Dante Martin, who was with Taz for like a day, like
yeah,
I guess the Martin brothers have no friends.
Sky Blue defeated Lady Frost. I thought Lady Frost looked good again. I and now I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, she's probably on the roster, right?
If you're in the Ring of Honor office, if she's not, you got to lock her down at this point. This is Sky Blue and Lady Frost. That's a good foundation. I mean, along with the others, but yeah, you're starting to build something there. La Facción Ingobernable, Jalisco and Rush defeated the Foundation, Rhett Titus and Tracy Williams. I thought this was a fucking fun match.
Yeah, this was a banger.
The Foundation are two for two with me. Titus and Williams, hot sauce.
Oh, absolutely.
They're two for two on the new Ring of Honor for me. I really wish they were on that ladder match. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, we don't have every team. Do we have every team for that yet?
We do.
Oh, okay. Well, they should. Yeah. Okay.
The team but for what it's worth, the team that beat them's in it. So I guess you got to win your match to get in, right?
That's fair.
But, you know, again, they remind me, and I'm going to say this just because maybe someone was thinking the same thing and they couldn't put their finger on it. Whatever that saying is. These guys really remind me of the grizzled young veterans. James Drake and Zach Gibson in good ways. I really like these guys. So this is a team I really am going to keep an eye on here in Ring of Honor.
God, do you remember every time the grizzled young vets music went in?
Oh, yeah, dude. People, and remember that crowd taking their shoes off for Zach Gibson? I mean, what the fuck was that? Was so cool. Yeah, now they're the dyad and their names are like Rip Fowler and shit. Yeah, it's fucked. Caprice Coleman and
Fed.
Oh, I know we both like this. Caprice Coleman had a sit down interview with Eddie Kingston and Ring of Honor World Champion.
This might have
Claudio
been like the best produced like sit down television type segment that they've done since Khan took over. Like since Khan started doing wrestling, really.
I have never seen a sitting like how they were actually feel this intense.
Yeah, I mean, but the history there from their time in Chikara too. Like, and it felt like, I don't know if you went back and looked at any of that stuff, Charlie, in like preparation for this feud, but I just happened to have gone back and like watched this like 30-minute breakdown of their feud from like back then that the guy that I bring up, Montecillo, every now and then did about this particular feud, because it's one of the legendary indie wrestling feuds from that era of indie wrestling that just never got the third rubber match to it for whatever reason. Claudio went off to the WWE, so they couldn't have it. Ring of Honor to have the opportunity to cap off one of the most legendary like Chikara storylines. You know what I mean?
Agreed. And yeah, I thought this was very well done. Pretty much the idea here is Claudio believes Eddie's the biggest waste of potential ever. And Eddie just wants to prove him wrong. And Eddie knows he's had his ups and downs in his career. And he's ready for more ups. I'm very excited to see who we're picking to win that. That's going to be fun. Matt Taven defeated Darius Martin. This was I liked it. There was a lot of shenanigans going on. But ROH has done a pretty good job from not having this too often. So it is what it is. I think we should establish Matt Taven getting these wins in singles over the other tag partner. Because if we're just, you know, being real, keeping it real with it, Matt Taven's a former world champion, where Darius Martin is not a singles wrestler. So it makes sense that he gets the win. Dante wasn't out there at ringside, yet he came out after the match. They didn't really cover why too well, but it was what it was. I like Matt Taven. Brian Cage defeated Tony Deppen in 4 minutes.
Yawn.
Shane Taylor defeated Silas Young in actually a pretty entertaining match. It was short, but I think this is the right move for Shane Taylor. I would like to see Shane Taylor in the television title scene or the world title scene following Claudio and Eddie. So, yeah, I think Shane Taylor picking up wins is you can't go wrong with that. And I thought Silas, they worked well together.
Yeah, I think on paper we both kind of were like, because we like Shane Taylor, but then like we're like, but Silas Young is kind of just like, he's this there, you know?
Yeah.
But like, it worked really well. Silas, it seems is good to lose. He's a really good, credible opponent to lose to people, which is something you're going to need in this Ring of Honor. So.
He reminds me of like Shelton Benjamin's current role in WWE. Or he's just a name
Love me some Shelton Benjamin, so I get behind
that. Yeah. Yeah. Billy Starks defeated Miranda Alize.
Do you remember when we were reviewing WWE every week and Shelton Benjamin was in New Japan at the time and was on the way back and then like, broke his back or something like that?
Yep.
Do you remember that? And it was like a year before he came back and was able to debut. And then when he did, it was one of the biggest pops ever. It was crazy. Like,
oh, it was so cool. Yeah. I love Shelton Benjamin.
I remember following that. Every now and then we would be like, I wonder what's going on with him. And then there'd be an update and they'd be like, I'm not. Someone would ask him and he'd be like, are you going to be coming back this year? I know you're still in New Japan. I'd be like, I don't know, you know. good stuff, you know.
Billy Starks picking up another victory on Ring of Honor, beating Miranda Alize, I believe it was. And it looked good. The drive-by, Alize went for a drive-by Shining Wizard. And Billy Starks like fucking avoided it. She goes for her finisher called the Miranda Rights. Starks caught her with a Tombstone Piledriver for the win.
I'll take all of the women that they've shown on Ring of Honor TV so far as part of the division. I'll take that, please.
That's where I'm at. Agreed. Aussie Open defeated Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal, and it is not even close, but Aussie Open has been the highlight of Ring of Honor since they started this new TV. They, at this point, are just every single match they're in is fucking awesome. Daniels and Sydal look fine as a team, but I think they did the right thing here, putting the kids over, as Christopher Daniels was saying. But this was a lot of fun, and I think the right guys won.
Yeah, I mean, I Ring of Honor is you know what's funny about Ring of Honor right now is that it's like kind of like, especially leading up into this current pay-per-view, it's in a really interesting position because they kind of just do whatever the hell they want. It doesn't really, there's no restrictions, which makes this so fun to watch, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like Supercard of Honor is going to be almost like, do you feel like this is like a sort of a reset point? And that's kind of why the stuff on the current first four episodes has been kind of, none of it's been like, some of it's been building storylines, but mostly it's just been kind of establishing the brand, right? Like, am I just completely off base here, do you think? Like,
no, that sounds right.
I know I completely just dodged the actual
match, no, we're establishing everything. Agreed.
But my head was in just more space talk, thinking about Ring of Honor as a whole. But yeah,
our main event was a squash match. Samoa Joe beat the crap out of Cheeseburger, and Samoa Joe feels like a mega dominant champion, and I think that's the right move. All right. That being said, Super Card of Honor. You ready? We'll go back to back here.
Okay.
Kicking us off, do we have one not for a title? Every match is for a title. Okay, usually I pick the one not for a title first and talk that. Reach for the Sky ladder match for the vacant ROH World Tag Team Championship. We got the Lucha Brothers. We got Top Flight, The Kingdom, Aussie Open, La Facción Ingobernable. It's an odd number. I'm going to have you go first. Who you got first out of these five teams? This is a tough one, man.
I'm putting the championships on LFI.
Okay. Jalisco and Roosh. I think that's a good call. Former ROH World Champ.
Yeah. Plus, I don't think they want Roosh unless you have Eddie win and then you don't want to run back Claudio, right? But yeah. I don't think you need Roosh in the world title scene just yet. But no. You can still have him be a champion.
And I can't remember if we mentioned this on a show or if it was when we were...
And Roosh has been putting in the work for months. He deserves something.
Yeah, he does. I'm going to take Aussie Open here. I think since...
that would be so huge. Oh, my God.
I think since Ring of Honor is tapings, you can just get these guys down once a month to do their thing. And yeah, or even tape it in Japan. Doesn't matter.
You could literally have Aussie Open defend those titles once every four episodes of Ring of Honor, and it'd be the biggest thing. Can you imagine how much traffic that would drive to Ring of Honor? Oh, my God.
We're talking hotter talents. You can't put it on the team hotter than that right now. All right. Six-man tag team match for the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Championships. The Embassy versus AR Fox, Blake Christian, and Metalik. And we will have new champions.
Agreed.
I'm down for all these guys to touch some gold.
Agreed. Yeah, no,
I think, like all of them.
Yeah, I think just to get it off those guys, especially if you're just going to let Brian Cage's contract expire, you know?
Yep. Get it off of them, and then depending on what happens, maybe Blackpool Combat Club.
And you could even have Gates come back for him eventually or something, just with a different person, you know?
Man, I'm not going to lie. I wish the Trustbusters were going for this, but maybe eventually we can get there.
I mean, we're potentially putting it on a group of baby faces, so that maybe would be the face.
Yes. Yeah. You could have him chase. Or the Varsity Athletes, either way. Samoa Joe versus Mark Briscoe, ROH World Television Championship. Who you got?
I got Mark Briscoe here, dude.
I do too. Just makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, when are you going to be able to capitalize more on Mark Briscoe? Joe has been kind of spinning his wheels for a while in the TV title division, you know? I'm not saying that I want Samoa Joe versus Eddie Kingston, but I might want Samoa Joe versus Eddie Kingston.
It could be pretty sweet. Yeah, I'm with you. Mark Briscoe. Mark Briscoe for sure. Athena versus Yuka Sakazaki for the ROH Women's World Championship. I am going Athena.
Agreed. Yeah, I think Athena's too hot to let that title. She's basically Ring of Honor TV right now. It's revolving around her. Like I suggested a while back. I just want to say, I was saying if I was going to book Ring of Honor TV right now, I put it around her. And it's what they're doing. So, I mean,
yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Her and Joe, actually. I'll give Joe some credit. He's been a major part as well. And Claudio, actually. Good brother Swiss.
Swiss man. So, we got Wheeler Yuta, Katsuyori Shibata for the Pure Wrestling Rules match for the ROH Pure Championship.
What a fucking nuts match.
Shibata versus Yuta. Who you got?
I got Yuta. Because I don't think Shibata's winning the Pure title. But, I mean, like...
But if he does... And I'm going to say he does. I think Tony puts it on him. And the only reason I'm thinking this is because we saw him do it for a little bit last year with Suzuki in the television championship.
Yeah.
I think he's going to toss it on Shibata. All he needs is one or two tapings out of the guy in Orlando. And they can crack that out. And, yeah. I think that'll be fun. But I think
I
Wheeler
think
gets
tough because I,
you I know, think I Wheeler gets his revenge, though.
Do that? Oh, you think Wheeler would win it back?
Yes, I do think Wheeler is the... Yes. But I think this is just a temporary thing to get a little pop with Shibata. And, you know...
So Wheeler would be like a three-time Pure Champion at that point.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I mean, nuts.
El Hijo del Vikingo versus Commander for the AAA Mega Championship. It's an even... I'm going to take Vikingo here. He's like nearly 500 days.
Did we think this... We confirm now that Commander is under Ring of Honor contract then probably...
Well, I think it's just. I think he just has a good. Tony Khan has a good relationship with whoever is holding that contract.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with Commander, because Commander is under AAA, but he's also like signed to something else.
Yeah, I know that's why he's not like. But I know his contract situation's not like other people's. Like, where Vikingo, you need to actually obviously go to AAA and be like, "Hey, we want him for these dates. Can we work something out?" You know, like.
Just that's so cool that he's getting these guys on here, man. Look at the plethora of wrestling we have on this show. It's so cool. And who do you got in that one? Vikingo or Commander?
Yeah, I think I have Vikingo in that match just because I don't know. I mean, imagine the story if they just dropped the Mega Championship to Commander.
How much fun is that match going to be?
Like, imagine if they did that. It'd be so insane.
Yeah, and if this follows the Pure rules, like a completely different style match, I mean, you are talk about a fun time. Okay, main event. It's odds. You're going first. Claudio Castagnoli, Eddie Kingston, ROH World Championship.
So originally I had thought in my head the perfect person to beat MJF eventually would be Eddie Kingston. But that's
right there with you.
I did not think we were going to get Eddie Kingston versus Claudio Castagnoli for a world title. I just didn't think it would be for a world title. I thought it made more sense to do it as just a personal feud to drag it out over months. But now it's all coming to a head and we can still spin it out into a feud that lasts months if we want to. But, Charlie, I think it's been Eddie Kingston's time for a long time. He's been overlooked for too long in a similar way to how Claudio was overlooked before becoming now a two-time world champion himself.
Yep.
So I think it's time for him to – I'm not sure which one of them is older. I'm assuming Eddie, but I don't actually know that. That might be wrong. Eddie might be younger. But I think it's time that Claudio passes that torch to Eddie and says, we're the two most overlooked guys probably in the history of the industry. I think that's probably fair, right? And
especially for how great they are,
right?
Especially in America.
At least it scales to talent, to ability, and so on and so forth that have been overlooked. And I think it's time. I think it's Eddie Kingston's time to become world champion.
I have been going back and forth with this, and I'm with you. I think Eddie Kingston as world champion is going to be a lot of fun. And I think Claudio giving, you know, being the one he beats is just, like you said, it's even more special, and it's going to be a fucking, it's going to be a hell of a moment. It's going to be one hell of a moment.
And if Claudio wins, it's going to be the craziest heat of all time. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that would be huge. So yeah, that'll be fun. But, okay. That's it for the news and the Ring of Honor stuff we had. So, what are you thinking? Do you want to? Should we do the AEW shows and then hit our little fantasy booking, or you want to hit it now?
Normally we put the fan. I mean, okay. So, because people like fantasy booking. I mean, we could do that now if you want. I don't really. It's an 11 match card, so it's like, is it better to do that now and then? Like, well. Because then the review, what do you think? I actually have no idea.
Let's do it now. Let's do some do some Double or Nothing fantasy booking now. So we'll go card by card. All right. So I'll kick us off. I'm gonna do the non-title matches, and we did do the Owen Hart Cup here. So this is my Double or Nothing fantasy booking. All right. Non-title matches. We got Keith Lee versus Swerve Strickland. I think these guys deserve a pay-per-view blow-off.
Okay.
I think it could be fucking awesome. And I would love it. I got The Acclaimed versus Jericho and Daniel Garcia in a non-title match. Just, I think The Acclaimed are next up in this whole Jericho thing. It just makes sense to me. And why not? Let's get the Acclaimed every Wednesday, right? Let's get them on pay-per-view. All right, and I believe the last for a non-title match or Owen Hart Cup, we have the Outcasts versus the Homegrown. I don't have the specific names. I don't even know if it's going to be 3v3 or 4v4 or 5v5. It could be the Anarchy in the Arena match for all we know, right? But I do think we're going to see that match at Double or Nothing. It's going to be a pretty big deal, and I think it's going to fucking kick ass. I feel pretty confident in this Outcast versus Homegrown like feud.
Okay.
Owen Hart Cup. Here we go. This is cool because just a little behind the scenes, guys. We don't know each other's stuff.
I just want to let everybody know I did not follow the same set of rules that Charlie did. Mine's completely different and in a completely different direction, and it absolutely involves people not from AEW. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay. So, men's Owen Hart Cup final. I got Ricky Starks versus Kip Sabian. I think they both need it. I think they both could be on a paper. They both deserve a pay-per-view.
I'm just going to tell everybody now. I also had Ricky as one of my finalists. I won't say who the other one is. I just want to point that out.
Oh, look at that. We're on the same page here. My women's Owens Hart Cup final. Red Velvet versus Athena. So, I originally had the IWGP US title on the line. So, that isn't anymore because I don't think they're just going to run that back.
Nope, throw it in there. I put one on.
All right, fuck it. Let's do Kenny Omega versus...
Just do it. I have it on mine.
Will Ospreay for the U.S. title.
Okay, send it. I didn't have that one, but okay. I had the actual money match.
Which one was that? Jeff Cobb? Or Okada?
We'll wait.
You're right.
We'll wait.
Yeah, Kenny Omega versus fucking Chase Owens. All right, I'm just kidding. All right, Trios title. I got the House of Black versus the Hung Bucks versus the Blackpool Combat Club. I think we're going batshit crazy in the Trios division. No Bryan Danielson. The tag, I got FTR versus the Lucha Brothers. So FTR are the champions. The TBS title, I think they're extending it all the way out. I got Jade versus Taya. Maybe Taya wins it there. I don't know. We're gonna see. But I think that's where Taya, the big crowning moment, is there.
TNT Championship, Powerhouse Hobbs versus Adam Cole, baby. International Championship, Orange Cassidy versus Konosuke Takeshita. And then the World Championship, I got MJF, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, and Sammy Guevara. I think that world title match is sticking. I think it's the only one that's happening. But if you were to say MJF versus Darby Allin singles, I'd buy it too. I could see them doing that. So that was my Double or Nothing fantasy booking card. Garrett, what the hell have you conducted in that lab? All
right, so I just realized I don't have an international championship match on my card. So let me just fix
that's okay.
That.
It probably won't even be defended. Let's be honest.
You know what? Fair. To be fair, you know, fine. I won't add a random match. I could come up with a random random match for Orange because I'm sure I have like 19 dream matches for Orange in my head, but. Okay, so you started off with non-title matches. I actually only have three, but there are three pretty solidly good matches. All right. This probably would be the match I would open up with. I have Mark Briscoe, who's technically under AEW contract.
Yep.
Taking on Miro.
That'd be awesome, and I could see it happening.
And it actually makes sense if you're going to put Mark Briscoe on there. Miro is a good, solid opponent. Yep. Miro could get a good match, I'm sure, out of him. The second, I guess I'll call them exhibition match that I have on here. It's a women's match. I have Sky Blue taking on Billy Starks.
That would be fucking huge for them.
And just give them 15, 20 minutes. Let them fucking just tear the house down.
You could put that as the only match on the open, on the
kickoff.
Remember
when Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter had a match like that on a random pay-per-view? When there was actually a title match, I think between Rosa and Britt, also on the same show. And they just tore the fucking house down for like 10 minutes. Like, let Sky Blue and Billy Starks do that. You know what I mean? Get Billy Starks signed to wherever she wants to go. She doesn't have to be AEW, but if she wants to after, and then get Sky Blue some time. All right. And then my final, this is when it starts to get nutty, Charlie. My final non-title match on this card, other than Owen Hart, obviously, I have Bryan Danielson taking on Zack Sabre Jr.
That'd be awesome.
Which I think should happen in AEW. I'm sorry. It's probably going to happen in Japan, and it should happen in AEW, just so that I can see it. But, I mean, I guess I could see
it. Might happen in Canada.
It could happen in Canada. That's a real possibility.
Yeah, I fucked up not having Danielson on this. Sorry.
To be fair, we don't know if he'll be available for this. Like,
that is true.
His storyline could still be going on. He could be in a, like messing around in a different company. All right. Did you go straight from a non-title into Owen Hart? I can't
remember. Hart, yep, and then I did all the titles. All
right, Owen Hart finals. Ricky Starks takes on Preston Vance.
There's precedent for that. I could see it.
I would like to see that match. I think Preston would put on a fucking show in that match because he's been like really great lately, and people I think have just been sleeping on him. And for the women's Owen Hart final, I have Riho taking on Chris Statlander.
Okay.
Again, I don't know if Chris Statlander is going to be available by then, but if she is, I mean, if she is, we should run back her and Layla in the final. But if Layla is not available, then Riho.
I feel pretty confident that Athena is going to win this year.
She could. I would like to see Riho potentially also win it because I feel like Riho's, you know, like I'm not sure who I would have win these matches. By the way, I'm just throwing them out there.
Yeah.
Between those two, we'll probably have Stat win because she's going to be on that momentum wave of coming back. So,
oh, yeah. The return. Yeah.
All right. We're getting even nuttier now as we go through this. So, actually, I'm going to go ahead and just go straight to the tag team title match, which I just have FTR versus Guns because right now I have no idea what the plan is. And to be honest with you, we all want them to be off of them by them, but I don't think the Guns are going to get their – I think they're going to let them hold the titles until the next pay-per-view. Like, I mean – I know that sounds like a long time, but I can't see why they would, like, what's going to be bigger than FTR winning the titles if they are going to win them? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Did they say when that career versus title match is happening?
Nope.
Yeah. So I guess that could be at the pay-per-view. Okay. So that's fair. So I don't know. That's not that crazy. So I thought I'd get that one out of the way. All right. AEW Trios Championship. I have House of Black taking on United Empire. That's why Will Ospreay is not in my US title match because I have him taking on the House of Black, which
I mean, that would be insane. And we know that they're not afraid to put him in the Trios division after putting him in the title thing.
All right, I got a fucking mind break. Well, I got two mind breaking swerves for you here with title matches. All right, mid card title matches, starting off with the women. We got the TBS Championship. Taya Valkyrie is taking on Thunder Rosa. Ooh. Where the hell is Jade?
Mm. Got to find out.
TNT Championship match. Juice Robinson's taking on Adam Cole, the champion.
Hey, okay.
Hobbs is doing something on this show. I just don't know what it is. I have no idea. It's not listed, but I would have him doing something on the show also. Probably going for the world title, but since we already know what that match is going to be, like, obviously I can't do that. I would love to book Hobbs versus MJF. It's just not happening. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. All right. Maybe have Hobbs and Ricky finally actually have a good match. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Damn it.
No, I'm sorry. Their match wasn't that good. It could have been more. All right. So where is Jade? Where the hell is Jade? Charlie, Jade's taking on Jamie Hayter for the AEW Women's World Championship.
If she loses the belt, that's 1,000% should be her direction.
All right. So there's that. What else do I have here? All right. Kenny Omega versus CM Punk for the IWGP United States title. That's what I have on my card.
That would be huge.
Because if they're going to do anything, I'm sorry. I don't care if you're New Japan and you whatever you feel. That match is bigger than anything you could possibly book right now in New Japan. Like, it should probably be on a Forbidden Door if it's on anything. But if you can get Punk back in the next 12 weeks somehow, and you can get this match on the card, which I don't think is going to happen based on the booking of, you know, Kenny and the Bucks and all that right now. But if you could somehow get that on the card, my God. And then the main event is MJF versus Darby Allin versus Sammy versus Jungle Boy. Yeah, my card's like insane and like not possible at all, realistically. But you said to have fun with it, so I did.
Absolutely, and we had some fun. So those were some Double or Nothing fantasy books. I know everyone loves some good fantasy booking, right?
So. I think my favorite thing that I picked was Ricky Starks versus Preston. I feel like that's a good shout for what the finals of the men's could actually be.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Yeah. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm very excited for Double or Nothing. I think we're going to start really figuring out more of that in the coming weeks. Because that Long Island show is going to be big. I mean, they've already announced Ricky versus Juice. I like that we both have Ricky in our finals. I think I loved the Owen Hart Cup last year, and I hope it delivers the same way it did last year. So,
what do you think of Juice versus Adam Cole? I liked that match.
I think that's fucking great. And, oh, that was what I thought in my head. I was like, because I was like, man, I need to put Danielson somewhere. So, you know what? Juice versus Danielson. Give me that. So, I'd buy into that. Okay, so let's hop into our darks that we have. And you're leading us off with AW Dark Elevation episode
107, which opened up with Sky Blue taking on TFA. I like Sky Blue being the first match the Winnipeg crowd saw. Get her out there for the crowd more. Let her become more, you know, known to the AW fan base. They know who she is, but let her be seen. Let her be seen as like a regular star on AW. And she picked up the win with the code blue here. For some reason, they couldn't figure out that's what the move was called. It's fine. It's all right. We don't expect you guys aren't Excalibur. We get it. It's fine. It's right. We don't get Riccaboni back. Damn it. We need Riccaboni on Elevation.
Riccaboni.
Yeah. The JAS is Jake. The JAS is Jake Hager took on Adam Knight. Hager was looking like an absolute menace to society on the way to the ring. His gut punches looked pretty good. Actually, his punches look okay. We complain about punches a lot. I think his strikes are pretty good.
Yeah.
Picked up a quick win. You know, it's just Jake Hager, Jake Hagering. You know, some people like Jake Hager. Some people don't like Jake Hager as much. I've always thought he was really good. So, speaking of people I think are really good, though, Emi Sakura took on Zoe Sager. Our Evil Queen's back, Charlie. She's just having a goddamn good time out there. And I'm here for it. She chopped her up. Apparently, she's an elite bowler, according to Paul White. She slapped the piss out of her. You know, and actually, that Zoe Sager actually got a nice little sequence. Like, I love how Emmy will just, like, even though she's getting a squash, will, like, if you just start having a good sequence, she's like, well, yeah, we're going to continue this now. You know, like, you're going to actually look good, you know, even if it's just for 1 second, you know. and then she rolled her through a few times on the Romero special, and then down into the the Dragon Sleeper, I think is what it is when you pull it down like that or something like that, whatever the hell that movie's called. And she choked her out, picked up the win. We had Brandon Cutlet Cutler taking on Jason Geiger. They had a little strike exchange. This guy was having none of Cutler's gimmick at all. He just had no interest in it whatsoever. He was just like, let's just.
I will say, Paul White did a great job selling this guy.
Yeah, no, he was like, just like, I don't want
anything. He really kind of put him over, man. Yeah, it was pretty like, impressive.
I don't want anything to do with this Cutler guy. Why am I here? You know, like, I love it. I love it. Not much there. Just some fun comedy stuff. You know, y'all know how I feel about Cutlet. He exists. I'm glad he's there because of BTE. That's all I'm going to say. If there was no BTE, yikes. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. He's your comedy.
Exactly. Speaking of comedy, we had Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy, and Ethan Page with Stokely Hathaway, who looked like he was on the way to the gallows in this match, taking on Massive Damage, Mo Jabari and Sebastian Wolfe. Fucking Massive Damage, Charlie.
That's an incredible name.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I gotta hit it every time. Oh yeah, and I'm sorry, not just hiya, but hiya, hey. Anyway, the firm worked synergistically in this match. I like that word. And they picked up the win with the Ego's Edge. Stokely looked pissed.
Pissed off Stokesworth.
The Top Flight took on a team. All right. The team had two guys on it. One was named Sean Moore. It's a name. He's a fine name. The other guy's name, Charlie, was Michael Allen Richard Clark. This motherfucker has four first names.
Michael Allen Richard Clark.
What the hell?
That's pretty metal to me.
Matt Menard's energy on commentary is good. There's some quick tags in here. Clean hot tag. I think it was from Dante. The elbow strikes looked good. Christ. Anyway, I don't even know how they picked up the win. This match was just... I'm still thinking about Massive there. Damage from the previous match. Anyway,
Massive Damage.
Speaking of Massive Damage, we had the Ring of Honor Women's World Title Proving Ground match. Athena taking on Taylor Rising. Taylor Rising, you know, like Terror Rising back in the day. Anyway, Athena's rampage continues. See how I set that up perfectly, by the way? Massive Damage, Athena. Anyway.
Hey.
Speaking of Massive Damage from Athena, the Alabama Slam on the floor, Charlie. My God.
Yeah, money.
She locked in the crossface, beat her up, post-match beatdown, belt shots, classic Athena beatdown, Dustin Rhodes and Keith Lee. Speaking of classic, the segues write themselves on this one, Charlie. Speaking of classic, we had Dustin Rhodes and Keith Lee taking on the some jobbers. I didn't actually write on who they were. Yeah, Keith Lee looking like a goddamn master sorcerer with that gear. Some big meat and lots of in-ring experience here. They work well together. But isn't this like Dustin's, like, isn't the rumor that this is Dustin's last year of in-ring competition, right? So, like, is this?
Yeah, I believe it is. So, I think he said it.
I understand him tagging up if he wants to, like, maybe take some of the load off even further. But, like, I'm not saying that Keith Lee's not quality tag partner for him to have for his last year. In fact, it's pretty good tag partner to have, you know what I mean? But I would have just thought he would have been more into like a singles run or something like that. Maybe not though. I don't know. I don't necessarily want him to go after a championship, I don't think, but just maybe some wins on singles, but I don't know. Maybe this just gives him more opportunity to be on TV. I don't know. It was a quick win. And in the main event of the evening, we had Silver and Reynolds taking on the Varsity Athletes. Got that big time intro that you were liking that I also think works better for this team. Reynolds got a salt hat tag. We went into hunky mode, the tag team combo meal for the W. I don't actually know if that was the designated finish because it did look like they were going for a breakup, but then Reynolds sometimes will also block the breakup. So I don't know. It might've been intentional that it went that way. I don't know. It doesn't really matter either way. The Silver Medals took the win. For us, the Athletes still looking like fools. And that takes us to AEW Dark episode 188. And the cat's attacking me. Hell bye.
The cat is attacking. All right, so Dark 188, right? Five matches. I love this format much more than the 9-11 matches. And they let some of the matches get a little bit of time. And when you do that, it makes me invest in a little more to what's happening. And we bookended the show with that exact example. Juice Robinson defeated Leon Ruffin in what I believe was a very fun opening match. I think Leon Ruffin, he's a name we see quite often on Dark at this point.
You know,
and then
what?
We know Juice is getting the push right now against Ricky. So
you know what, Leon Ruffin, I'll tell you, I'll take the Iron Savages if we bring back Ruffin.
It was a good trio. Why not use them as a trio in Ring of Honor?
Dude, Ruffin it was actually a great team name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. Layla Gray defeated Kiera Hogan in the former Batty v's Batty battle. Yeah, pretty quick match.
Bro, but, imagine being Kiera Hogan, though, and like you're the original baddie. This chick got brought in off of like one booking, and now you're getting squashed by her.
Yeah,
Christ.
Hey, it sucks to suck. The Iron Savages defeated the Wingmen in a 7-minute match. I thought everyone kind of got in some decent offense. Benoni's fucking huge, man. That's a big dude. But I like Ryan Nemeth. I want to love the Iron Savages. And yeah, Ruffin and Savages were both here. You know, let's book that trio again. It works.
Big bad bearded Benoni.
We had my favorite twins, the Renegades, Charlotte Renegade and Robin Renegade, defeat Avery Burrow and Mafiosa. Quick match. Again, the Renegades are picking up victories here. It's only a matter of time until they bring them into the fold with something. I don't know what it's going to be yet.
Something I saw in the comment section of this episode of Dark, weirdly, was that people thought that it was interesting that even though this was taped Universal, obviously, that seems like the crowd is a different crowd than it was like 6 months ago or something, that they actually do try and give the wrestlers a little bit more back now. Does that make sense to you? I think I would agree with that. I feel like they got some news here.
When they switched up that arena to what they're using for Ring of Honor, it Ring of Honor feels much more like an old NXT, but whereas this one doesn't quite yet, but it's getting there. It's getting there. They're in the next match, they barked even more too. So yeah,
as they should.
The Renegades hit a heart attack on Mafiosa to score the win, and this run that she's on, man, Billy Starks, she got out there, had a match with Tony Storm, which you know was just awesome for her. They gave him a little bit of time, about 6.5 minutes. They main evented Dark, and I thought it was pretty fun. I would love to see them get a 15-minute match on, say, Dynamite, and just let them really cook. I think Billy Starks is someone they really want to try and bring into the fold. I mean, clearly, with how much she's wrestled in said companies in Ring of Honor, AEW in 2023.
She has had 10 matches in the last, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah, they love what she's doing. And, you know, she didn't job out to Tony Storm. They had a good match. But I like when we have 5 matches and everyone gets a little bit more time to breathe. I mean, the Renegades one was quick. But if there was one of them that should have been quick, it was that one, right? I mean, everything else was between either signed competitors or Billy Starks and Leon Ruffin are basically signed. I mean, we see them on Ring of Honor and AEW. So, you know, they're freelancing in our company. So, yeah, that was it for Elevation and Dark. So let's jump into Dynamite, huh? We've already covered the beginning and the end. So we had the Guns versus Top Flight. We didn't cover the beginning of the show. We kick off with a fucking ambulance, by the way. AEW comes on air with Hangman Adam Page backstage next to an ambulance. Excalibur told the Young Bucks had been attacked. Kenny Omega and Don Callis are there on the scene. Page jumps in the ambulance with Nick and they're headed to the hospital. Callis, you know, he's telling Omega, like, dude, we gotta get back in there. We gotta go study. You're facing Vikingo, man. I mean, we gotta get going. And yeah. What'd you think of the hot start? We don't see that too often.
Is this the second time that Hangman Page has stolen an ambulance, by the way?
Someone's gotta check. This guy's gonna get a felony.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that is a crime, right? Like,
it's gotta be a felony. But I mean, what's your opinion on a hot start like that? It's different.
I wish if they did it like this that there was going to be more mystery to it, like, but maybe...
Yeah, we found out at the end.
But those angles never really work
out.
Well,
we found that actually after the first match.
That's true. But I mean, like, But do those angles ever really work out when it's like...
Yeah, if it's someone that sucks, like, I think we're left feeling a little bit like, eh. But the fact that it's Blackpool Combat Club and the Elite, it's like, yeah.
Oh, I mean,
this is
like if they
had
dragged it out, like even like yeah. You know, like how they did like when Rikishi did it for The Rock, you know, like.
That's fair. But yeah, I love this, by the way. So before we get into the tag match, Excalibur tells us he got a text message from Brandon Cutlett, who left in the ambulance with the Young Bucks, and he said the Blackpool Combat Club did it. They fucking attacked us. Okay. The Guns Top Flight AW Tag Team Championships. Their entrance hits. Fuck. Dare I say it? I like how these guys look with the titles, man. Son of a bitch. But everyone would look good with some gold, right? This match was completely hindered by the commercial break.
Not the Iron Savages.
God damn it, you got me. Come on, man. We're supposed to like them. We got a shill for them. Since what are you doing? No, they're our guys. I'm a Bear Boulder. You're a Bronson Berry Boulder. I mean, this
country.
Is...
Country.
All right, so...
Sorry. I was talking about Willow.
We did that Bron Breakker fucking bark thing going on.
Bro, that gif is one of the greatest things ever.
There's a gif of the Bron Breakker and the Creed brothers just fucking barking, and it's like 3 seconds out of context. It's the funniest thing. Dude, should we cover Stand and Deliver? I just thought about that.
Is there anything on that card worth seeing?
Dude, I think Carmelo Hayes is going to win the NXT title. That's my fucking car. Maybe that's another one we'll cover, guys. Who knows? I mean, expect to see us a lot next weekend. But yeah, this match was killed by the commercial break. And honestly, I didn't like the shenanigans in it. Because I hate to say it, if you don't watch Ring of Honor, you had no idea these guys were feuding. Maybe you just think they started one. But what'd you think of that? Of the Ring of Honor feud bleeding into this one?
I mean, I think it makes sense. It's just
like, it does make sense.
It's just like, also, like, if you're not watching Honor Club, you're probably so confused, like you said, though. Like,
I don't like Top Flight's tag team title matches feeling like this. It's a shitty feeling. I know why they put the titles on the lines to get, you know, get some more interest in it.
The last couple times they've gotten title shots has been when they've been in the middle of a different feud.
It's been, yeah, exactly. It feels weird. I want them to get a legit fucking championship opportunity. So maybe if the Kingdom win it on, you know, Friday, they can challenge for it and we get a legit opportunity.
Could be.
Post-match, Top Flight brawled back to the brawl with the Kingdom to the back. FTR's music hit. They came into the ring. Colt said no one wanted to hear or see FTR. The Guns don't respect FTR, who are losers and will never get a title shot ever again. FTR said they'd never team in AEW again. Austin's like, I don't think you understand. Nothing you can do or say. Then Harwood dropped the fucking $1 million line. They'd quit AEW if the Guns beat them again. And if, you know, you're keeping it honest here, of course Austin and Colton are going to accept that because they've already beaten them clean as a sheet. They accepted and they spat in FTR's faces before running out. And son of a bitch, Dax had a fucking loogie dangling off the side of his head, man. One of our friends I was watching the show with, I mean, he gagged. I mean, that was some brutal shit. That spit, man. Ugh. But yeah, FGR, do you like this angle? I mean, if we're playing up the contract thing, right, it adds a little bit to it, right?
I mean, I think this, I mean, you know, I can't think of a time historically when a contract has been coming up and this was thrown out there and it didn't mean that they were losing. You know what I mean? Like,
look at Jay White. Loser leaves Japan.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if your contract is up, I think when you do these kinds of angles, it's because it's clearly, like, nobody really knows what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, so,
yeah.
Unless they come to some kind of agreement with Tony beforehand, I think this could be FTR's last match at AEW. Like, genuinely, you know? Like,
if they go out putting over the Guns, fucking GG to them, man. That's tippable, I guess. Putting over the Guns twice.
Yeah, it'd be an admirable way to go out. I would really hate to lose them back to the WWE, you know? If they go anywhere, I'd hope they go to New Japan, at least so that way we can maybe get them back for at least once a year on Forbidden Door or something, you know? Like,
yeah, if we lose them anywhere and they go to Japan, I'm actually okay with it.
Yeah, but if it's WWE, perfectly fine. Then if they go back to the Fed, then all is lost.
And maybe they can shave each other's backs. No, look, if they go back there, I mean, clearly it's to maybe get like a big program with the Usos, right? So... I mean, whatever they do, they're the fucking...
Why would they want to go wrestle the third best tag team in the world?
Hey, man. And some might say Bishamon's even in that up there, too.
Yeah, so. You're right. They might be fourth.
Renee is backstage with Jade, Mark, and Layla Gray. Everyone's looking good here. She's asking for comment about the debut of Taya last week. Sterling issued a cease and desist letter saying Taya is not allowed to use Cargill's finisher. Cargill said she would give this to Taya herself on Friday on Rampage. Paquette then asked about Stokely Hathaway wrestling next, and Cargill and them just all laughed about it. How often in wrestling do you actually have two people have a finisher that's like, I don't even know if I've ever seen this finisher before with Jade, and yet two people have it. Now they're feuding with each other. It's actually kind of a neat little thing.
So,
and it's not like a fucking spear. You know what I mean?
The Road to Valhalla. I forget what the actual name of the move is. It's been done before. I forget. Somebody else used to use it in WWE back in the day. I forget who it was. But it's not a super common one like you're saying. But it'll be really interesting because, like you said, you don't really see – like the only thing I could like think of is if you did like CM Punk versus Kenta, right? Because obviously Kenta invented the move, right? Other than that, you know, or maybe even to an extent, either of those guys versus Danhausen, you know, like because they all use the same move or whatever. It's not really something. I mean, you know, if like Diamond Dallas Page faced Randy Orton back in the day or something somehow, you know, I guess it'd be a similar thing. But like, it's like, it's not super common. So it'll be really interesting to see how they structure the match and to see like, I don't know, just off the top of your head, do you think we see multiple Jadens in the match? Do you think we see one? Do you think it's one person?
Yeah, no one's kicked out of it yet, right? So I would love to see Taya.
One slam it either way. Whoever wins just the one who catches it, right? You know?
I'd love to see Taya hit it on Jade and Jade kicks out.
Ooh, that'd be interesting. And then Jade ends up pinning her with it. But
we need to have a legit – before Jade loses this title.
We need to have a legit story with her actually defending her
next
it.
She needs to come like super close to losing it at least once before she loses it. And I think if you could set it up perfectly here.
Well, this
like,
is why, okay, people say they hate authority figures in wrestling. This is why I wish we had Tony Khan as an established authority figure or Tony Schiavone as an established authority figure because even though Tony Schiavone is, I don't think if Tony Schiavone was like, Tony Schiavone couldn't be like, you know, she had you on the ropes there. We really should run this back. We need TK to be able to come out and do that in a situation like this. You know what I mean? Like, because I would love to see exactly what you're saying, but then for somebody that's in a position of authority that can make the match, sit there and remake the match. That way it feels like it's not just, oh, we should run this back. And they just, you know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't feel like Ty is just chasing her down. Like we've had like every other storyline with Jade, which just feels like they're chasing until she finally just gives them another match, which it only works that way so many times. Like you got to do something different. So I would like if some authority figure, hell, maybe Sanjay Dutt. I mean, he's kind of a little too involved in TV, but you know what I mean? Like somebody, I don't know. Like,
yeah, you need a stooge out there.
Yeah, we need, who would you have be that? Like, could we have, who is the guy that was from like Pat Buck, right? Could we have Pat Buck do that maybe?
Yeah. I mean, you could easily, I think Shivani's their guy.
Yeah, but Shivani doesn't feel like wouldn't you feel weird if Shivani made a match?
I mean, maybe get Marvez in there. I don't know. There's
you know
options.
Saying? Like, I feel like we need
I would be cool
like
if we gave
either interview or.
I'll tell you right now. No, I'll tell you right now. If Renee Paquette got that role where she could start handing out matches, I think she'd be great for it. Everyone believes
I don't
in
know.
Her,
so. I feel like TK just needs to bite the bullet. I'm not saying be on TV all the time, Tony. I'm just saying, like, I think for some moments he should. Like
Mark Henry
would be good for those roles too, but he just doesn't feel like he's got the maybe if they just established Mark Henry as having matchmaking power.
Look, Adam, who no one would have thought Adam Pearce would be as great as he is for WWE, and the guy's fucking an
I just
insanely
don't know
good
if
authority
I need to, like, because I agree with you, because you could just say Mark Henry is like basically the GM, even though he's not the GM in name, right? But like I almost would rather it be just TK. I know people are gonna be like, but Tony's so busy. But like, also, he's the only guy who's got he's the only established guy who in story has the authority to make these kinds of decisions. So unless they go out of their way to establish something, it's just gonna be weird, you know. I'm just saying, I feel like for this story, I'm with you. I want that to be how it goes, but I also would like to see
this. Yeah, this specific story, they'll just have Mark Sterling say he made the match because he's a lawyer.
That's true. They'll do stuff like that. I'm okay with that as long as he implies that he went to Tony Khan or something. You know what I mean,
if there's anyone that can make matches, it's him. I mean, honestly. It's kind of crazy. We've seen him make matches.
He's made more matches than Tony has. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, you know, obviously Tony made all the matches, but I'm saying like he's made more matches in storyline than Tony has. Like he's facilitated more of the continuances like that. I don't know. I know I shouldn't harp on this, but it's just something I think
it's,
about.
It's cool. We had Hook taking on Stokely Hathaway in an ODQ match, and this was fun as fuck. Yeah. Stokely retired. He tried to retire before the match.
Yep.
He wasn't allowed to. He turned in a doctor's note, but it was a receipt from Wingstop. Stokely's fucking hilarious, man. I swear to God, he is so funny. And he quoted Tupac at the camera. I mean, this guy's great. And, I mean, Hook just got an easy win. This did no harm to anyone, and it was just fun.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention Stokely choking a motherfucker out on Dark.
That he did, and Stokely posted a little video of everyone kind of laughing at him, and then he posted an Instagram Live video, and Rio called him a bitch in it. I think he made up all the comments, but it was funny.
Dude, she called him a bitch like 4 times or something in like 30 seconds. It was nuts.
Brian Danielson's bussing vegan brisket.
Yo, this vegan Jesus. Brisket is bussing.
God, what the fuck would be vegan brisket?
I love There's that they no just way. Had somebody type a bunch of fake like live comments like that. I just love it. You know what I mean? That video probably took like an hour to make or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, because they just had to like edit everything. Oh, that was so perfect.
Yeah, Stokely's the kind of guy. He will do funny stuff like that. He did really good stuff with the Cruiserweight title. Adam Cole addresses his enemies. No, he addresses Return next week, and we're setting up the match between Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia. I got no problem with this, right?
Zero problems detected. We get Adam Cole next week.
Bye-bye! Against Danny. Danny Ice. Alex Marvez is backstage trying to get himself. Word with Don Callis and Kenny Omega about what happened to the Young Bucks. Callis asked Omega what the issue is as he sent Nakazawa with him. Oh! Nakazawa said this is the best thing that could happen with him. Or no, Nakazawa didn't say that. Pretty much, he sent Nakazawa with the Young Bucks, so it's just Kenny and Callis there, right?
Yeah, do you this think the best Don thing that could have happened to them? Do you think there's slowly a rift that's going to form between Don Callis and Kenny?
No. I think Kenny trusts Don Callis, and we've seen it before.
Yeah, but Don Callis is fucking him around right now, like pretty.
Look,
hard.
Eventually he's gonna. Eventually, Kenny will see the bright eye, but for I think the foreseeable future. He's going to go with him, and we're going to have that little, like, no, Kenny, no.
Kenny,
but they better, they better not do what they did with some of this other stuff. I want to see them still on BTE together, though. Don't pull some dumb shit. We need Kenneth with the boys still. Don't, you know what I mean? They can just ask, they can act like aloof for 15 seconds and be like, I don't know what's going on. You killed Adam Cole. All right.
killed Adam
John Cole. Moxley defeated Stu Grayson. I thought this match was pretty fine. The opening minute, it felt like it took them a little bit to get on the same wavelength, but when they did, it picked up and was pretty nice at the end. But, I thought Stu had got his shit in at the end and he looked fine. I think John getting the win here is perfectly fine. Everyone loves seeing John Moxley. The crowd loves it, right?
I hope it doesn't devolve back into how it was before for him, but I'm just glad to have Stu back. Because like I feel like we were missing like a crucial part of the Dark Order when Stu walked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we needed at least
one
of these.
I feel like when
back.
I say that I'm so disrespectful to Allen Angels. I'm not I loved Five too. I just did.
Yeah, no, they're all good guys. Renee Paquette is with Ricky Friggin Starks, who had it quick to the point. He's issuing a challenge to Juice this Friday in Rampage. He's tired of doing back and forth with him. The next installment of QTV is shown. Harley Cameron shows off footage of Powerhouse Hobbs beating the ever-living piss out of Rey Fénix last week, and it's actually footage shot with a phone. I thought that was brilliant. QT and his crew laugh about Fénix losing Aaron Solo. Solo mocks Penta not showing up to save his brother. He said he hacked into the Observer Twitter account, started tweeting about hotels. That actually got me because I don't know. I've been too deep on Twitter sometimes, and I've actually seen what this was for. Jesus. We learned that Hobbs will defend the TNT title against Penta El Zero Miedo on Rampage.
Zero Miedo.
Tony Storm defeated Sky Blue. This was some quick work. And Tony Storm beating up Billy Starks and Sky Blue in the same week. She's going through the Young Bucks. And, my God. There was a sweet cheek music on the floor.
They were in the hospital.
But there was this violent sweet cheek music on the floor that was just unbelievable. And I gotta say, I thought Sky Blue really clicked in this match. This was a really enjoyable little TV match.
I'm telling you, man, she stands out in everything that they have her do. I don't know why she's not like had like more opportunities.
She's been looking good on Ring of Honor. She looks good on Dark, but I feel like we've been kind of waiting for that one, a Dynamite match to click, because she's always kind of getting squashed or in a tag where she's not doing too much.
Yeah.
But no, she looked good in this. She looked good in this Dynamite match, and I think that's a good sign for her progression as a wrestler. And she can punch. She can throw some good punches. She can throw some good elbows. Outcasts were about to attack Blue, but Willow and Riho with a steel pipe hit the ring to chase him off.
The Riho with the pipe beams are my favorite thing that I saw all week.
You don't fuck with Riho.
Bro, did you see some of the funny ass shit people were posting? Like when CM Punk posted his shit. And they were like, see, Riho, when CM Punk tries to re-enter the locker room and it's just her holding the pipe above her head.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Riho is the AEW enforcer.
The doctors were checking up on Stu and the Blackpool Combat showed up and beat the piss out of him.
They needed Riho out there with the pipe.
They did, actually. My God. All right. AEW Rampage, we get kicked off from Independence, Missouri. Powerhouse Hobbs defeats Penta El Zero Miedo. What did you think of this one? How'd you feel about our second TNT championship match out of Powerhouse?
I think Hobbs' title reign so far, if it continues at the pace that it's going right now, it's going to be insane. I think the Lucha Bros are a great duo for him to start off his title reign against, too. So, two quality matches. I mean... And you were saying you happened to watch this like not long before we recorded this, and I just happened to be listening to like what you were saying about it as you were watching it, just to get like another opinion on it. And you were saying you noticed how much bigger of a person or how much bigger of a guy Penta is than you thought. And it's like, yeah, he's actually a big
man.
He moves way faster and quicker and flippy and shit than you should be able to at that size. But he is actually a pretty big dude. So it matched up with Hobbs well. Like the opening of this match, dude, was just like a heavy strike exchange between the two guys. And this was a harder hitting match than I thought it would have been, just because Hobbs is traditionally that, like, his name is Powerhouse. He does that sort of Haas style of, but this is that Hobbs we've talked about before that kind of can open up a little bit and be that sort of, you know, he can match that, he can almost go spot for spot with you out there, which is kind of insane for a guy his size, you know, like,
yeah. And I'm liking the QTV out there. There was a little shenanigans, but it didn't result, in anything too crazy.
I don't know what it is about Harley Cameron. She's just menacing, just sitting out there with her little cameras like, oh yeah, I'm just going to film this. I'm just going to, there's something about that. She's just got some kind of energy.
I need her to have a gimmick where like she slides him like a fucking brass knuckles or something.
Right? Like,
I'm not kidding you.
She's got that like undercurrent of just like evil about her that she just like, like she's the true mastermind or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but like she's got something going on there. What a pull to just pull into this group. You know what I mean? Like, just great choice.
It's fresh new face. I mean, going from the factory to QTV, keeping Aaron with him and adding Powerhouse Hobbs and Harley Cameron, it's a nice little switch up.
Absolutely.
So, he's beating 2/3 of Death Triangle. Is Pac next?
I mean, if Pac's available, I have no idea what the deal is with him.
Yeah, we get some highlights from last week's Dynamite, led to a package on Kenny Omega's match with Jeff Cobb. The IWGP United States Championship.
The championship.
Ricky Starks hits us the ring. He's looking for a confrontation with Juice Robinson. Robinson came out to the ring, but turned his back. Starks tried to chase him down. Robinson got away from Starks because he didn't want to fight in Missouri. I hate Missouri. Juice Robinson's fucking hilarious. He is a funny looking guy. when he does those faces, dude,
it's fucking goofy, brilliant. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting on that Bully Ray promo skill, bro. I'm sorry. He said he was good. I'm waiting. I like Juice. I'm waiting for that promo to happen. I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Bully Ray, Kevin Owens. I mean, all these guys always talk about how good he is. So, AEW's in New York April 5th. So we've already set up a match for a couple weeks down the road. I like when they do that. I don't want to wrestle in Missouri. I hate Missouri. in Kansas City or Independence, wherever the heck we at. It's like, this guy's just funny.
Juice doesn't even know where he's at. I respect it.
No, he doesn't give a fuck. Lethal and Jarrett ran down all the ways the AEW referees screwed them out of the title. And they were cheating to win their dastardly enforcement of the rules. Brody King defeated Jake Hager.
If you think about it, let's be real. They got two AEW officials as part of their group. They should be able to cheat way better. I'm just saying.
God damn it. Julia Hart got shoved into the back from Anna Jay. Any hopes that they run that match?
I'm hoping so. I mean, House of Black versus JS is unique in the way that you actually have, like, female talent on both sides. So, in terms of, like, faction wars. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could run that. You could run that in Thai. You could.
And then Julia needs a friend. And who does she get? Abaddon. No, I think she's still hurt. But, my God. Give me the crazy. Give me the wild.
I honestly don't think Abaddon would want to get... I mean, I like Abaddon. I don't think she'd want to get put in with the House of Black just because I feel like...
No, I'm saying like a one-off just because of the Ty J.
I mean, maybe. Potentially, yeah. I could see it.
Just recruit Athena. If any wrestler needs a tag partner, you just hit
Athena. Athena has technically done a dark god, get like dark, like eclipse. Like she was like a vampire before, right? Like, so...
Something, yeah. So, Swerve Strickland gets a little promo. He's with rapper Tech N9ne. He promised to win the war with Keith Lee with the help of a new affiliate that we would not expect who it is. Does that make you think they're not on the roster, or does that make you think Miro?
I mean, it could be Miro. It could be Andrade, potentially. Imagine, like, he's got some sort of partnership with LFI, but, like, it becomes his, like, main dude, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a big heater. That she's not in a spot right now, and I just keep going back to Anthony Ogogo.
I mean, it'd be great. I just don't think I have no idea what's on with. I want to book Anthony Ogogo on everything if we have fantasy booking opportunities, but I have not seen him on AEW Dark in months, and so I cannot say if he's still signed with the company or not, you know?
Yeah.
And even that wouldn't necessarily mean that, because it could have been his last match and we would have never. And that's the thing that's crazy is, like, he's never been one of those guys where I feel like there was contract watch on him, right? Maybe there was, but, like, not as much. And so I'm kind of curious what his, like, if it was ever publicized, because his last match that we saw him have could have been the last match on his current contract or his most recent, you know what I mean, if that was the end, so... And we would have just never known if it wasn't like a super publicized contract. So I worry about that, you know, because he was really good.
Yeah, he was. God, there was a name. I am blanking right now. Fuck, I had it too. Who I think it's going to be. We saw him on Dark. He used to wrestle MLW. I won't harp on it too long because I don't want to. I'm just going to check one more thing. It might be. He might have been the National Open Weight Champion. Is it like Enorfe? No? You know what I'm talking about? He was on Dark. He wrestled Takeshita.
Yeah, I'd have to go back through Takeshita's opponents. I don't specifically remember anybody off the top of my head. There's been a couple of MLW guys that they've used on
Dark. EJ and Duka. Okay. AW... this guy is fucking. He was a former tag team champion in MLW. That's why I couldn't find it. For some reason, I was getting him mixed up with someone in NXT. I'm like, who the fuck? I know he was in WWE, but it's not this guy. Okay, yeah, he was in NXT for a little bit, but yeah, EJ and Duka. This is a mogul affiliate. If it's him, don't be surprised. And I'm sorry if I just spoiled it for you guys. I have a gut feeling that that's who it is, and he can fucking. It's someone we wouldn't expect, so it's not going to be. It's not going to be Brian Cage. Let's fucking hold a small prayer that it isn't. Taya Valkyrie defeated Layla Gray in a minute 15. She beat her ass, the Road to Valhalla. And Sterling, you know, is going to be in a neck brace again, probably, right?
Probably.
We got the rundown next week. Menard and Angelo Parker.
It'd be awesome if they put him in, like, because it's the Road to Valhalla. It'd be awesome if he was, like, at a full, like, chest thing, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or like the, you know, like the Cody Rhodes face mask that like for when he had the facial reconstruction surgery, you know, or whatever. You remember that? You ever seen those?
No, that was great. Yeah, and, yeah. The thing Cutler wears too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that thing. Yes. Get one of those gimmicks. Have Cutler take his off.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Okay, main event, The Acclaimed defeated The Kingdom. Funny little opening segment for The Acclaimed. I love The Kingdom's music. So whenever they hit their entrance, I'm always into it. I thought the match was fine. Yeah. The ending, everyone got their shit in. Bowens looked really good, getting all the big spots. And yeah, this is kind of the Bowens show here, this match. This was an Anthony Bowens fest. And I'm cool with that. I love Anthony Bowens. He's great. And Anthony Bowens is such a great hot tag. And that's honestly something that it should be. It's not as appreciated as much as it used to be in tag team wrestling, is the hot tag. Because, you know, you go back to like the Rock and Roll Express.
I watch hot tags from teams in major tag team, like trios matches, where the crowd just does not go with it because they just didn't quite go right. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not that they didn't do everything that they wanted to correctly. It's just it's poorly timed, you know, or it doesn't quite meet with the flow of the match. Or like what feels like a hot tag will happen, and then they just get shut down. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It happens a lot in the trios matches with the Elite sometimes. Like, you'll think they're setting up for a big spot, and, well, I actually know the heels are still in charge. Sorry.
Like, it's either, I think it's Ricky Morton that everyone always considers, like, I mean, he was the greatest hot tag in the history of wrestling. And it's like, Bowens, when he gets that hot tag, he always hits a good fucking opening spots. And I like The Acclaimed main eventing and winning. You know, because we've talked on this show before. I mean, they lost those titles. A little concerned about what the fuck comes next.
Can I be honest with you? I'm still a little concerned about what comes next for them.
I mean, I am concerned too, but I'm guessing now, you know, maybe we're going to see them enter more with the Jericho stuff. They're kind of in two separate feuds a little bit. And anytime you get to main event, I think, again, they're still on TV every week. So let's, I hope they do like another AW after this Owen Hart Cup. We should do like another tag team tournament, and that'll be enough time. You can do the tag team tournament, and I'm just going to say it right now, to face FTR. I know everyone can think what they want with FTR. I think FTR are about to enter a legendary title run. I think it's going to be fucking huge. So that's me. I could be totally wrong. I mean, in May, we could be talking about how, holy shit, they just showed up and beat the crap out of the Usos. So you never know. But yeah, that is it for Rampage. And Next week. Kenny Omega, Jeff Cobb, United States title match.
Cobbert.
Orange Cassidy versus The Butcher, international title match. The Orange Cassidy title reign continues, man. I mean, come on. This guy is a fucking menace.
Absolutely.
Adam Cole versus Daniel Garcia. Ruby Soho versus Willow Nightingale. I hope Willow doesn't get squashed.
Nah. They were former friends.
You think she is?
They literally went through a street fight together. I think they have to have something there, right? Like,
agreed. Blackpool Combat Club versus Dalton Castle and the Boys. R.I.P. My boy Dalton. Give me a boy. Matt Hardy versus Jungle Boy Jack motherfucking Perry.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, Matt Hardy.
Yeah, sorry. Tough. Jungle Boy's on his way to the main event.
Jungle Boy.
I'm a Jungle Boy. I'm a Jungle Boy. Sorry. So yeah, that's it for us, man. This is the first of many things. It's technically now Monday, 12:03. And it's the first of many things for this week of wrestling. So we'll definitely, I'm guessing, let's double check the dates right now. We got a second. What of all the matches this weekend, including every company, what match are you most excited about right now? Is it Cody Roman? Is it Claudio Eddie? Is it Yuka and Athena? Are you excited for Joey Janela and Kota Ibushi? I mean, look, we got a lot of cool shit this weekend. So Thursday night at 11 p.m., we got New Japan and Impact Multiverse. Not sure if we're covering that yet. I know we'll probably be watching it, but don't know if we're going to cover it. And then Friday, 7 p.m., Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor. followed by the GCW Spring Break that night, which is usually a fun show. And then Saturday morning at 12:45, we have NXT Stand and Deliver. So, yeah. Full weekend of shows, and then obviously WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, Dynamite Wednesday, Rampage Friday. Rampage is in the mix of all that, so watch Rampage, Supercard of Honors. Probably going to take place over Rampage for sure, so... But yeah, no matter what, guys, we will see you Friday night at the latest for Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor. Thanks for hanging out with us. I tried to hit the Lando. Hello, what have we here? It didn't play, but that's okay. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Vision?